Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
There's a wonderful theme this morning in our worship. And it was, if you notice, the theme this morning was a lot about Christ, salvation, his work on the cross, and his blood. And I want to talk with you this morning a little bit about the importance of blood. You know, for us who maybe have, and some of you who've had faith in the Lord for a long time, we kind of, you know, we understand it to some degree. Maybe he'll inspire you with a greater revelation this morning. And for some, you know, Jesus died on a cross. We heard it. We talk about the shedding of blood. You know, you come into a church like this and all of a sudden we're singing songs about his blood. And maybe it's a little confusing. Maybe it's a little gruesome. And I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. And we're going to look in Genesis, or I'll make reference to the book of Genesis, which is the first book of the Bible. We're going to talk in Leviticus. We're going to probably bring Hebrews in and Psalms in. So I'm going to jump around a little bit in some of these passages. And if I'll give you the reference, and if you want to quickly turn there, go ahead. For the sake of time, I may not wait for everybody to get there, but you can always, in a few days, you can always go back over this message. We have it on our website, on a podcast, and it'll be there. In Leviticus, you know, it makes it pretty clear. There's a lot of places in Scripture that talk about the need for blood for forgiveness. But if you would look to the book of Leviticus, chapter 17, you can turn there, and it'll be in verse 11. There is this clear statement. And by the way, Leviticus, it's, if you're not sure where it is, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, third book of the Bible from the left side there. And Leviticus really means the book of the law. Okay, and so here is this law, this book of the law, and it says this. Verse 11, "For the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life." Atonement meaning payment for sin. So we understand that in the Old Testament and in the beginning, there was a sacrifice of animals, and lifeblood would go out from them, and death was involved, and that was the price that was paid for the forgiveness of sin for us. I mean, imagine that, of all creation, that God's eye would fall upon us, because we are made in his image, which is different than all other creation. And so in the beginning, we know that man was created and had a wife, and Adam and Eve were together, and they committed sin. And they committed sin, and you'll find it in Genesis chapter 3. And in Genesis chapter 3, they sin, and she begins to understand that they were naked. And so what did they do to cover up this new knowledge because of sin? Right? Come on. You know the story. Yeah. Fig leaves, coverings. It was man's, listen to this, this is important for us. This is man's way of trying to cover sin. It was an expression of man trying to solve something where he went wrong. And of course it goes on, and God has conversation with them, and there are some consequences in temporal life for their own safety, but also some eternal consequences. And the sin separated from God. They went and had children. Now, do you remember in Genesis chapter 4, Adam and Eve, here's a little Bible quiz for you. Adam and Eve had, we find in the scripture, at least what's recorded, how many children did they have that we know of? If you said three, you're correct. Cain? Next one? Third guy? Cain, Abel, and Seth. We really only hear about Cain and Abel because it's a story of, you know, these two sons. One was working with livestock. One worked with crops. And Abel brought this wonderful sacrifice because he worked with livestock. He understood that he brought a sacrifice that had to do with blood. Sacrificing an animal, right, for the forgiveness of sin, to bring worship to God, for this consecration of his life. This is really important. I know it's a little teachy this morning, but just hang in there. And then his brother, Cain, he worked with crops. Well, rather than taking a portion of crops to purchase the right required sacrifice from his brother, in other words, I want to give you this much in exchange for livestock so that I can make an acceptable expression of worship to God. Cain took and sacrificed and burned some of his crops. Well, you know, in human reason, I guess that seems to make sense. But the thing is this, that's not what God required. Man's way to try to achieve God's pleasure on his own initiative, his own idea, his own justification, thinking this is what's acceptable. And God rejects his sacrifice and says, why are you mad? Why are you jealous? Why are you upset? Listen, do what's required. Cain had the resources to purchase a blood sacrifice, and he didn't do it. Understand that in the law and in the very beginning, what did God do to resolve the sin issue for Adam and Eve? He covered them with animal hides, which involved death, which involved blood. And so this whole thing began with God's resolution for humanity to have the forgiveness of sin or eternal death. Death was involved to provide, the lifeblood going out, to provide a forgiveness in an ongoing life. That's why we look ahead to what God did in sending his son Jesus. Jesus, who was without flaw, without sin, perfect blood, he gave his life as payment for our sins. That through faith in him, this blood is applied to our life as God looks upon us, and there is a forgiveness. If you were to look in Hebrews chapter 9 real quick, I'm going to read to you some selected verses. Verse 12, verse 21 and 22. It reads like this. He, Jesus, did not enter by the means of blood of goats and calves, in other words, animals that were sacrificed, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. I want to mention this to you that these sacrifices that were continually made in the Old Testament or up to the point of Christ, these sacrifices of animals for blood, for the forgiveness of sin, they had to continually do this because there was a forgiveness of sin. But when Jesus came, he entered the most holy place, not by the blood of animals, but by his own blood. And it says here that the fruit of that or the permanency of that was that there was now an eternal redemption, not just forgiveness over the past. And then, well, we sin, and we're going to have to bring some more animals, and we're going to have to sacrifice, and we're going to have to shed more blood. When Jesus did this, it was one time, one man, for all. Not to be done again. He purchased the eternal redemption, a forever redemption, that it doesn't have to be repeated. Paul writes that it is by God's grace we are saved through faith in Jesus Christ, not by our own works, not by shedding the blood of animals, but by believing upon Jesus Christ in this work that he has done on our behalf, and that this blood atones or pays my debt. something that I couldn't pay on my own. This was God's plan. Blood was needed in the beginning, and a New Testament came, a perfect way, or a more perfect way, building off the Old Testament and into this new covenant that you and I get the privilege of understanding and enjoying, which should bring forgiveness over our past and a peace for our future, and that we can be in right relationship with God. And when we sin, that we confess to Him and call out to Him because we believe upon Him and what He did on the cross, and that His blood still has power to forgive sins. There is nowhere else that you can go to cleanse your conscience. There's nowhere else that you can go to get rid of guilt or shame. I understand that we like to make restitution if we have some goodness about us at all. But it doesn't change the fact that we still did something wrong. That we still sin. And that we need the blood of Jesus Christ to atone or pay for our sins. It's interesting when you look in the Old Testament and there are different places it talks about the priests should consecrate themselves, that they should consecrate the temple, they should consecrate all the objects that they use during this sacrifice or worship unto God. If you were to look in Chronicles chapter 29, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, we're not going to turn there, I'm just making a reference for you. Sorry, it's 2 Chronicles 29. King Hezekiah, he becomes king. He's only 25 years old. And within his first year of being king, he recognizes that his forefathers have desecrated and defiled the temple with sin, the way they did things. And so he sends out this decree. He says, okay, all you Levites, all you priests, you are going to cleanse the temple. I want you to take out everything that's defiled. And then I want us to begin to worship God the right way. And we are going to consecrate everything. And they began to consecrate things and cleanse things and make things right. Take out the things that were defiled and begin to consecrate the things that are new. That means they began to sacrifice animals and they were splashing and spilling and sprinkling everything with blood. Because in the blood, the life flow, there was forgiveness of sin. I mean, you have to remember that God is holy. We are not. You and I are flawed, and we're born into being flawed because our parents were flawed. Our grandparents were flawed, and so on and so on. There's a forgiveness that's needed in our life. And yes, it's because we've done some things wrong, we've sinned, but it started before we made actions of sin. We were born into sin. You get this? We were born in it. And we are the fruit of that. But through Christ and His sacrifice, there's a forgiveness. There's a hope. There's a peace. There's something that can change not only for our eternity, but in this life. Imagine how free you could live if you didn't carry hurts with you from the past. Think about this for a moment. Because when hurt comes to us, we tend to hang on to it, though we want to get past it. The way that we get rid of this is we forgive people, right? Our mind might remember it, but we no longer are hung up on the hurt. And I was a victim, and this is what was done to me. And I know some of these things that have been done to some of us in this room are extreme. I mean, they are dark. I mean, deepest dark, black. I get it. But we can free ourselves through Christ. He makes freedom for us if we forgive. Now we can trust again. We can love again. We can do all these things like we've never been hurt. And when we begin to do that and someone disappoints and hurts us again, and we can forgive, it frees us to walk around like we've not been hurt. And it's this redemptive factor that we have been new through Christ. That takes an active part of our faith. It says, I believe in this forgiveness. I believe in your blood. And I can be free from this. It is this consecrating of ourself When we activate that kind of faith, it is like the consecrating of a temple for what is this that you and I walk around in? Paul writes that we are now the temple of the Holy Ghost. I mean, this building is called a church, but, you know, and the presence of God can come into this place, but you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You, look at the person next to you and say, you're a temple of God. Yeah. You're the temple that God lives in you. So catch this. Here's a little part for us. Seems we're supposed to consecrate things that are used in worshiping God. When we come into this place and we're going to celebrate and worship God together, you and I should not be walking in here so casual, carrying all our junk and everything with us. There should be a moment prior to coming here or when you arrive here to say, you know what? I've got to cleanse. I've got to ask forgiveness. I've got to make sure things are right between me and God because I am this temple of God and this body is an instrument of worship, an object of worship unto Him. We can read the Old Testament and go, yeah, they consecrate everything. They were about holiness. They were about the presence of God. Listen, that has not changed. You and I, as we come into this place, we can come in friendly and warm, but we should not come into this place with a nonchalant attitude. Those of you who are of the household of faith, we should not come in here with just a nonchalant attitude. There is this consecrating process. There's about the recognizing of Christ's blood that makes us clean and makes us an object, a person, a temple that is now suitable for worship. That's why forgiveness of sin is important. One of the reasons it's important in our life is that we can embrace what God has done in giving us hope and making us now a person who can have relationship with Him, and it is not separated because of sin. It's been paid for, and we put that faith into our life, or that grace of God into our life through faith in Him. It's interesting, you know, if you look at Psalm 51, and while you're turning to Psalm 51, I just want to read a verse to you out of Isaiah. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings and rams and the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. Look at this. You look at what Isaiah prophesied as the Lord spoke it. And he said, listen, I know you're making sacrifices of animals and it takes blood. But what God is saying is, he's saying, you know what? You are doing this on a ceremonial basis. In other words, you come, sacrifice the animal, but you continue to live the way you want. You live the way you want. You live far from me. You live how you want in your personal life. Oh, you might think about me and you do some religious things and you might do some good things. But you are not in relationship with me, and yet you come and you sacrifice these animals, and the blood is shed for the forgiveness of sin. And God says, you know what? I've had enough of the whole animal bloodshed. I've had enough. It's not really what I'm after. David hits on something in Psalm 51. Now, this is after this king, who all other kings are measured by, this worshiper of God, who sinned, commits adultery, schemes, commits murder. And he comes to God and it starts out in Psalm 51. He says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. His prayer continues to go on. And when he gets to verse 16, he says this. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will never turn away someone who's sincere. You see, it would be easy for us to become very ceremonial, carry out tradition for tradition's sake, that people just continued for the forgiveness of sin slaughtering animals. And God was not after, as we see, it did not satisfy. King David recognizes it's not about these animals, it's not about the blood alone just for the forgiveness, it's just some ceremonial thing. It's about when forgiveness comes, we have relationship with God. God was about the relationship with you. He's about the relationship with you. He actually wants to reveal himself to you, and he wants you to continue to know him and understand him and do things his way. He wants to walk with you in life like a good friend. He's about the relationship with you. This is not about some religious thing that is just out there somewhere and it's some ceremony and God's out there and, well, I hope this is good enough or I'm trying to make my own sacrifice or come up with my own way. No, we have to do what's required. We must worship him like he requires us to worship him. Not just come in our own way and what we're comfortable with, but worship him the way he requires to be worshiped. And through this forgiveness, it brings this closeness where you can be at peace. I like to write in the scripture that says, ah, yes, I can put my heart at rest in God's presence because I know he knows me, and yet there's a forgiveness. You ever have that unrest? You can remember when you were a kid and you answered to a parent or a teacher or some authority in your life and you knew you did something wrong and you hoped they didn't know. And then you get around them and you do your best to kind of act natural. But underneath the facade, in here, there was this unrest. There was this unrest. There was this unrest. And for when you first met them, it was really there. And then it's like, oh, they didn't bring it up and I didn't confess anything. Maybe they don't know. Maybe everything's cool. Okay. And then you see them again and you feel this rise again. Listen, God knows you and he knows me and he knows our history. He knows the corruption within us. He knows our heart. But there is a way that we can put our hearts at rest. In his presence, even though he knows everything. Because when we confess to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Because Jesus went to a cross and shed his perfect blood for the forgiveness of our sin. And now through that forgiveness, we don't just walk away and say thanks. It's this forgiveness that comes and now we walk into this relationship with God. Understand, it cost Jesus everything. Cost him everything. Before he was born of a virgin, we know that he was with the Father. He left everything. He left everything to come. And then to be born and be human when he was divine. Why? Because the Father sent him and the Father loved us. We don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. I get that. We don't deserve it. But it is his grace, his mercy, his kindness that can forgive us of a past. Though our mind, remember, we don't live under its influence, but we can walk free because of this faith in Christ who spilt his blood that purchased us. That's why the scripture says, and we can say, I am not my own. I am not my own. I've been bought with a price. It's why David says, it's not about the blood of bulls and goats. It's about this brokenness over our sin. It's about this contrite feeling, this unrest that we have, that we can put to rest when we just come clean with God. He's made it possible. Understand this. You don't have to live with guilt anymore. You don't have to share your bed with guilt at night. You don't have to wake up condemned. you can actually be really, truly, sincerely, in God's sight, forgiven. Even though other people may hang things over your head, God, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. It was the blood, the pure blood of His Son that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. That's our hope. And get this, it's not just the hope for eternity. We don't have to wait for eternity. It is the blood that forgives our past and empowers us now to live different, and live with this hope, and live in this holiness, and live in this faith. And when we fall, we can come clean with Him. That when you come into this place to worship with brothers and sisters and fellow believers, that you know what? There is this consecration that has taken place, and this temple, this object, is ready to worship. And to offer up suitable, acceptable worship. It is why we're not to conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we would be able to test and approve what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is. He forgives you. Listen to this. You put faith in Him and confess, He forgives you. The corruption in here that you and I try to mask and try to make it look holy, to come up with some justifiable language that makes our motives seem more palatable. You know what I'm talking about. The wrestling's inside and how we let words come out to people so that we don't look like we're sinning. We don't look like we have a wrong attitude. When we know within ourselves there's a little bit of unrest. Cain's sacrifice was not acceptable because it was based upon his own ingenuity and his human effort. When it comes to salvation, it's not about our effort. It's about His effort and what He's done and accomplished. And for salvation for us, it is about faith. And from that point of faith, now we live in step with the Spirit and we make effort, but we don't run ahead just on our human works. But salvation does not come, your salvation does not come by your covering up, by your human effort, or by my human sacrifice. Whatever it is I want to offer up to God. That is not what's required. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, one, for all time. And it's faith in Him for the forgiveness of sin and a hope for a future. And from that point on, we make effort to live right. And when we don't, we bring it to God. And we don't hide it behind leaves. We don't justify our disobedience and work some articulate argument out to sound good. When all it is covering up a flaw, a sin, a wrong attitude. It's that place where we need the blood of Jesus Christ to forgive us and change us.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.